This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Sangha. Sangha means community. It also means it's community in the sense of people that meditate together, that practice together. Sangha also has an extended meaning that means like your connection or your interrelationship with all beings and with all things. So when we say welcome Sangha, we're including all of life. And sometimes they even say, this is classical, they can even say, welcome dragons and elephants. I have no idea what that means, but it's from classical Chinese, but it means we're gathered together now for this time of talking. Now we've had this experience of meditation. Some of us that are might be new to it. It's maybe a new thing, but essentially what we're doing intentionally now is actually a natural thing. So everyone in effect has meditated all their life in one way or another, and to just take a break, to just pause for a moment, that might even be called a form of meditation. It isn't inclusive to in Buddhism or any religious tradition. It's a natural condition of our life that we need to, and we do. It's part of our sort of primal nature to stop occasionally, to settle, to pause. And that's what we did today. We did that together. Traditionally, it's in a very classical way. There's two aspects of meditation. One is called shamatha, and the other one is called vipassana. So these are like the two wings of meditation, or the two bondings of meditation. Shamatha, a Sanskrit word, means to place, to settle, to calm, to pacify, to arrive, to be here, to be at home. That's shamatha. And the idea of following our breath, for instance, or this kind of technique of meditation helps us to do that. The other wing of meditation is called vipassana. And vipassana means to see as it is, or to see precisely, to see things as they are, to see reality. And it's also sometimes called wisdom or prajna, vipassana. So shamatha, vipassana are the two wings of meditation. In this tradition, the Zen tradition, most of the forms came from China. Of course, originally it came from a yogic tradition in India, of course, with the founder. But the term shamatha is, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right. It's called shu. It means, the character means to stop. The same character to stop is the character for shamatha. So when we do shamatha, we stop. We stop being on. We just are. We don't have to be on as a person. We don't have to be, we don't have to produce. We just are. That's shamatha. Shu, does that, are any of you Chinese, does that make sense? Shu, the term shu, to stop. Can anyone correct my pronunciation? Shu.
Jean-Pierre.
How do you pronounce it? It's complicated for Westerners, yeah. And Vipassana, the term or the character is guan, which means to see. Guan, yeah. So shamatha and vipassana are stopping and seeing, stopping and seeing. Very simple, very simple. That's what we do. That's meditation. We stop, and when we stop, when we calm ourselves down, then we have the opportunity to see, to actually see things as they are, to see ourselves, to see our relationships to life, to other people, to all of life. When we can stop, when we can pause, when we can take a break, when we can stop, then we can see. That's meditation. It's very, very simple. That's what we did today. Now, in the Zen tradition, we're very, and also the Chan tradition, which it came from in China, it's kind of specializes in meditation. So there's not so much formulaic stuff. There's very little ritual. It's very simple, very minimal. We just do meditation, and there's no there's even though we talk sometimes, there's very little talking, and there's not so much emphasis on words or conceptualization, on a kind of philosophy or anything like that. It's direct experience. So that's the Zen or Chan tradition. And it's also kind of, you could say it's also kind of formless. So it doesn't emphasize a technique. It emphasizes more self-agency. You kind of find your own way. You become your own boss. Being your own boss, I'm self-employed. It's hard, It's better to have someone else tell you what to do than to tell yourself what to do. And but so in Zen, we have that sense of self-agency, which is risky. It's risky. It's easy to fall off of it. And it has a formless quality. So that's a Zen tradition. But before the Zen tradition, in foundational Buddhism, the approach to meditation was a little more practical, a little more sort of hands-on and practical. And the original teachings of the Buddha about meditation was called the Satipatthana Sutra or the Maha Satipatthana Sutra. It's a Sanskrit word, and Maha just means great, but Sati means to be mindful or to be aware or to be awake or to know. That's Sati. Upana means means kind of foundation or basis or kind of collecting. So you're collecting your mind. Satipatthana, you're collecting your mind. There's also a kind of correlation, etymological correlation with this called upana. And upana means to be close to be intimate, to be, in other words, like this is not a practice from the outside. This is a very intimate thing. This is what you're doing, and it's very close. And it's kind of a little bit tender in a way. So what I thought we could experiment with today is rather than this kind of formless, quiet meditation that we do in Zen, we could do something different. We could together we can kind of review or check out this Satipatthana Sutra. And sometimes this is called guided meditation. So if you'd like to try this, what I recommend is that we get yourself in a comfortable meditation position. Get as comfortable as you can. We're gonna close our eyes this so we can focus. This is the older tradition. In the Zen tradition, we keep our eyes open. What we're gonna basically do is we're gonna check in with our whole body mind complex. It's like a survey. We're going to take a survey of ourselves. We're going to reference our body and our minds in a kind of sequential way. And the way we do this is, as you may have been taught in meditation, is we're going to use our breath as a kind of cue or a kind of device to help us remember. So the original teachings of the Buddha said, being mindful of your breath. Let us all just be mindful of our breath, the inhalation and the exhalation. Enjoying each breath just as it is. And sometimes when the teachings of the Buddha say that when we begin meditation, sometimes we take long breaths or breaths, you could say full breaths, to kind of feel our breath. And as our meditation settles, our breath may become shorter or more subtle. So whether you're using a full breath or a subtle breath, either one of those is fine. And as far as what I'm going to talk about in a moment, if you lose your breath or can't seem to follow your breath, that's fine, because the sutra also says that besides following your breath, just bring your attention to the topic that we're coming to, the topics that we're coming to, without your breath. That's also fine. So following our breath, we'll bring our attention to our body. Breathing in and breathing out. We'll feel our body just as it is. Feel a sense of it being located. Of our consciousness. Our awareness being with our body as one thing. We'll meet our body on the cushion just as it is, breathing in and breathing out. Check in with your body. Breathing in and breathing out. With your breath, calm your body. Let the tensions in your body just melt. Just let them dissipate. Let your muscles relax. If your back is relatively upright, you can relax everything in your body. Your legs, your arms, the muscles of your face. Let your breath help you to release any tension. Calm your body. Understanding too that like all things, your body is impermanent and it's come into being and it will cease to be. So we just have this precious moment to really appreciate that we are embodied, that we are alive this way. We are in place this way. Now breathing in and breathing out, enjoying our breath. Let's bring our attention to sensations or feelings. Sensation of being on the cushion. Sensations in our body, feeling hot or cold. Or more cognitive sense feelings that are associated with emotions, feeling sad or feeling happy. So breathing in and breathing out. Let's just meet feelings as they are. Don't try and change anything. These are my feelings. These are my sensations. Here they are. Still being with our breath. If there's any feelings or sensations that we would like to release, we can release them. Let them go out with the out breath, like a sigh. Let them melt. Let them dissolve into the atmosphere. Remember too, like the body, these feelings are very temporal. They come and go. They're like waves. So we accept their coming and we accept their passing. It's part of who we are. We're mutable, we're changeable. We feel things. And we can release them now. Let them just be. Now let's bring our attention to our mental state, our minds. And consider ourselves that we are aware, that we're conscious. We can feel, we can perceive. Enjoy and appreciate that sense of being conscious. Being present. Now we can look more closely at our mental states and see what our mental state is. If it's agitated, we can pacify it. If it's excited, we can settle it down. If it's sleepy or dull, we can wake it up. So as you look into, as you survey your mental state, use your breath to adjust it to make it appropriate. Make it your own. And now let's bring our attention to our mental contents, which include thinking. So in the Satipatthana Sutra, the Buddha recommends certain thinking, awareness of the four truths or other Buddhist thoughts, but basically whatever your mental contents are, you can be aware of them as metal constructs as metal content. You're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to think about, maybe you're thinking about pain in your back. Maybe you're thinking about well, you don't like what you're doing right now. Whatever you're thinking about, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it in this survey as thinking. Oh, I'm thinking. I am cognizing. I am constructing. I am fabricating. I'm fabricating this consciousness with my creativity in thought. I am modeling the world in my mind. And acknowledge that and take responsibility for your thoughts in a sense. And if your thoughts are spinning you or owning you, you need to pacify your thoughts as well and calm your thoughts. Of breathing in and breathing out. Review or we check in with our body as it is, our feelings or sensations as they are, our mental states as they are, and our thoughts as they are. That's the Satipatthana Sutra. That's what the Buddha recommended that we do when we can. So we can open our eyes now and take a deep breath. It's all over. But I recommend this, and the Buddha, as the Buddha recommended, and as many teachers recommend, that when you can, whether it's a time of specific meditation or just a time when throughout your daily life that you use this Satipatthana, these four foundations of mindfulness, these four references of body and mind, that you use these to kind of check in with yourself. Like, say to yourself, just take a break and say to yourself, here's my body. How's my body? How is it? How's my body? I'm checking in. How are my feelings? How are my sensations? I check it, check in. How's my mental state? Check it, check in. What are my thoughts? All these thoughts. Check in with your thoughts. Survey those. So when you can throughout the day, I recommend, the Buddha recommends that you check in like this. It's very, very wholesome. It's very restorative. I mean, I recommend it, and the Buddha recommends it. If you can do this throughout the day, just check in. Do it. It's really, really useful. Particularly when you notice that you're off balance. And you're really off balance, you're a little too excited, or you're a little too sluggish and spaced out, or kind of checking out or contracted, When you notice that you're off balance one way or another, or your emotional contents are too strong. Stop, take a break, and check in this way. It's really useful. So that's it. That's the Buddha's recommendation. What else can we say? After you've stopped in this way, after you've taken a break in this way, after you've really arrived back at yourself, come home back to yourself in this way, what then? What remains? What's left? What remains? Well, simply, it's the world as it is. It's reality. That's what remains. And you can appreciate it. You can, savor it. So, for a moment or forever, but what remains after you've able to stop like this is the world as it is, you as you are. So, don't miss this vital opportunity of your life. Don't miss this vital opportunity of your life. Really check in with yourself and come back to what's real. Well, I've got, does anyone like to say anything? Add anything? Yeah.
I would. Especially because it's not rehearsed.
It's what?
Not rehearsed. That, like, what's happening to me in the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, is something, a part of my practice is the body. Uncontrollable incense sometimes comes in, and I stay with it. Seems like kind of like my mother would say, count to 10. Basic practice, just this form of counting to 10 for action, right? Or so it's, this is seems the most basic part of the understanding to me about all the other stuff you just
you should away. Go up and put the incense out.
Well, but then see, this is body, right? This is body, you say body, mind, body. My nose, a lot of times, will run. Sometimes my feet kind of stink. I'm wondering if I'd go backwards, but my nose will run, right? And instead of doing something, to stay, like Pima says, stay, stay. It's like training a puppy. And I just let my nose run, and maybe it run over my lip. No big deal. Right, I don't react, and okay. So it's that is seems to come right to.
You're making my nose run.
Well, your feet smell. If your feet smell a little bit, you might be a bit awkward too.
I do have a cold.
So this is where I mean. It seems like it comes right there, right at this interface, right at the interface of body. Mind.
Well, meeting your body.
Yeah.
Meeting your body in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Meeting your feelings. Probably a lot of people have more issues with their feelings, or their mental states. It varies, But there's when you meet it, you have to meet it, and that's what we're doing. That's the satipatthana. You have to arrive and meet it, And you have to. You can use these. You can use your breath. The four foundations and mindfulness to meet your whole body and mind. But specifically, if you're having a negative sensation in your body, your nose is running or your feet stink or whatever, or just some kind of irritation, The first step is to acknowledge it. And that's, and you're doing, you're meeting it by just acknowledging. Then it's whether you do something about it or change your body or not change it or just accept it as it is. That's up to you. You're the boss, you know?
Yeah.
So you can put the incense out or leave the room or whatever if the incense is bothering you.
Yeah.
Or stay and actually feel the incense and actually experience the slight irritation in your nose or something like that, and kind of almost get interested in it. So I mean, it's up to you.
And the miraculous event of it actually changing, that it doesn't stay fixed, like all the sensations, they don't stay fixed. They might arise, come back again, but it's like being in time. This is an opportunity, in other words, for me to even emphasize more of this being here now without changing anything other than just being with it. So
the only thing permanent is change itself.
Yeah. That's an oxymoron.
I didn't make up that. That's someone else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Joe.
Joe, thank you for that. The first thing I want to comment or question is, how did you know that I was sitting here not enjoying what I was doing because my back was hurting?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you figured that out, but you hit it on the nail. So thank you for that.
With the cushions, you mean?
Just in general, that moment, as you said that, I was sitting here going, oh my God, my back is killing me. I am not enjoying this. And you were going, if you're sitting here thinking that your back is hurting or that you're not enjoying this. And I appreciated that because it kind of brought me back to this kind of stoic view of impermanence. It's gonna come and it's gonna go. And then the only thing that we really can control in everything in reality is how we respond to
how we respond. That's it. That's well put. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
There is sensations, there is a body. You know, and the body ages. Like I've got a lot of issues with my body. You know, it's how we respond to it, how we meet it. Yeah. That's, and we are, or you know, that's our agency. You know, how we respond to it. Yeah, I'll put, yeah, good. Thanks for that. Yeah. Anyone else like to?
So I had a question.
Yes.
I might.
Yes.
So the fourth foundation is the Dharma. Is there a way you do this daily check-in? Any tips for that? I mean, I can see how maybe if you're working with some, like you read something in the morning, you could kind of, when you're doing your check-in, you could kind of maybe frame things. But how do you view that? Do you just do the other three in your check-in, or do you try to include it in some way?
Well, it's the four foundations are a little bit, they're not all equal. I mean, the first three are somatic, you know, they have to do with the body and they have to do with the body as it is, including the mental states, you know, but the fourth one is to some degree cognitive, you know, so it actually takes a little bit of a shift from this somatic awareness to a kind of more cognitive awareness, where you actually choose it. You can choose a topic, or you can choose a topic, and that's in the classic Satipatthana Sutra. The Buddha recommended that you consider the four foundations of mindfulness. You consider, you know, that, like the Buddha said, unhappiness does exist. I mean, the Buddha was a young man who had a problem, and the problem was he was trying to figure out the meaning of life, so to speak, or how to lead a meaningful life, and he was the problem was is he didn't know why, and no one could tell him why successfully, why there wasn't happiness or incompleteness or unsatisfactoriness in life. That was the first truth. So you could choose as a topic, you know, the first truth, like the Buddha did, or the second truth, you know, that has a cause, or that there is, or that it's the third truth, that it's optional, so to speak, that there's cessation from that by addressing it as it is. Or another topic is like the Eightfold Path, which is like this compendium or this kind of complete thing of how to live that the Buddha recommended. And the meditation is part of this, of the four foundations or the Eightfold Path. But it also includes like how to live in the world, ethicalness, and to have the right view or the right conceptual view of things as they are, you know, the right, you might call it the right attitude, the right intention. So you could choose any one of those topics, and if you check out the Satipatthana Sutra, you can choose those topics that the Buddha recommended, or you can choose a topic of your choice, like what I'm going to have for lunch tomorrow. I'm not kidding. That sounds frivolous, but you can choose that topic. Like, I have to prepare a meal for me and my family, and this is an important topic. If you choose it as a topic intentionally, and choose to think about it, you're actually practicing within the Satipatthana Sutra. Or you choose to think about why I'm not getting along with my friend. You know, that could be a really important topic for someone, and you need to actually focus on that, and you can choose that as a topic. So Russ, any topic you can choose, but if you'd like to go back to the classical topics, you know, that the Buddha recommended, or the topic of impermanence itself, you know, of just
I guess what I'm hearing is partly that you could do the check-in of the three somatic ones and then say of like the eight noble truths the four noble truths, the Eightfold Path, like what would be supportive, you know, like, do I need a little more resolve or is it right view or am I suffering and I need to, you know, like, yeah, you could almost like to provide some framework for your experience to kind of help you rebalance.
Actually, practical analysis can come from that, you know, and a resolution about what to do or what not to do, you know, can come from that focus on the contents of your mental contents. Yeah. So,
yeah. Or like you said, if you're worried about, oh, what are we going to have for dinner next week with these guests, then sit down and make a decision and then you could let it go.
And then you can let it go. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
After you've, you know, wrote down your shopping list. Yeah. Then you can.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone? Well, remember, this sounds like it's a prescriptive thing. It may feel like it's something that comes from the outside, but it's not. It's what the Buddha has recommended is like, if you look closely within yourself, you have an innermost request to become real this way. There's a wonderful story that I've heard that kind of illustrates this, that we usually assume that information comes from the outside, but actually it comes from within. The story goes that there's a There's a poor tailor. This is kind of a long time ago, and a poor tailor, and he can't make a living. Business is poor, and he's got kids and a family, and he can't make a living, and he's just in total distress. He's in so much distress that he starts to dream about his problems. And he has a certain dream where he dreams that the solution to the whole question of his poverty, of what he needs, it's he can find it at the bridge. So he doesn't know what to do. The only bridge he knows is the bridge to the castle. This is like a medieval town. This is a medieval story. So he goes to the bridge, and he doesn't know what to do. And kind of like us, when we meditate, he just sits down. He sits down because he doesn't know what to do. There's a bridge, and the dream told him he could find his treasure. He could find his solution to his poverty there. He doesn't know what to do. So he just sits down and waits, like we do when we meditate. We kind of wait in a way. He just sits down and he waits and he waits and he waits. And finally, the guard at the bridge, you know, it's a castle bridge. The guard gets very curious about him because he's just sitting there, and he goes over and he develops a relationship to him and starts talking to him, and they kind of become friends and chat, and finally the poor tailor asks him the guard asks him why are you waiting here, why are you hanging out here, you know. And he says, and the poor tailor says, well, I had this dream. I had this dream that I would find my treasure. I would find my wealth. I would find a release from the poverty of me and my family at this bridge. And the guard said, oh, you silly fool. Don't ever believe in dreams. They're really, really stupid. They don't mean anything. They're just fluffs of air. But I even had a dream. I even had a dream that stuck with me. I had a dream that I found this amazing treasure in the hearth, in the stones under a hearth. And he explained, he described the hearth, you know, where they make the fire, where they cook and everything. And he explained it to this poor tailor. And it was the hearth, it was the home fire of this tailor. And he was like amazed. This is my place. So what did the tailor do? He went home. He went home. He went back home. And in the home fire, he dug up some stones and he found some gold coins that were left by a previous owner, and he was able to feed his family and relieve himself from poverty. So you get the point of this story. It's at home. All this stuff is at home. All this stuff belongs to you. It doesn't come from the outside. So please take care of it. Okay. Thank you.
The gatha is, I believe, on page 3, page 2 in line, after the Dharma talk.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.